The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is taken from Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise. The good news according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, I like this Sunday. It's one of those Sundays that isn't, well, it's always, Sundays are always special, but this one in particular, that's a little different. This is the Sunday before the big day. It's kind of a different feel in the air. Maybe it's the extra stress. Or maybe there's some extra joy. School's out, college students are home, programs and businesses are kind of winding down for the year, there are more get-togethers, and on TV there are special programs. All the bowl games are starting to happen. And yes, there are Christmas specials as well. But I have an important question for you today. Are you ready? I'm not. There's still some decorating to do. Couple gifts I still need to buy, quite a bit of things I've got to make and bake still, places to go. There's still things to do before the big day. But what would happen if part of your Christmas was not complete? How much is dependent on how much you make, buy, or give out? If you just took one thing away, would Christmas still be the same? Say, no more Christmas music? Would it still feel like Christmas? What if you took one other thing away? What if you couldn't have Christmas music, say Christmas food? Would it still feel like Christmas? What if it is only one thing you could do for Christmas? would that thing still be Christmas for you? The scene in the Grinch book and movies now, the Grinch takes all a Christmas away. The gifts, trees, decorations, the special food. And then as the Whoville gather on Christmas Day, they begin to sing around the town square. It's a pretty powerful scene. The Grinch from the distance looks down and makes this comment. Maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. While the Grinch and the story told by Dr. Seuss is on the right track, it still doesn't come close to the capital T truth. Joseph is caught in another Christmas story, something maybe that you could see on a Hallmark channel, although there'd be a different plot, different set of actors, and an outcome that, well, it might not fit into a Hallmark movie. Joseph, having entered into an arrangement with Mary's parents to marry their daughter, had several options available to him when he discovers Mary's pregnancy. He could publicly renounce her, which would probably be resulted in her being shunned by the little community of Nazareth, dooming her to a single parenthood and disgrace, and dooming her child to not have a real name. We don't know much about Nazareth itself, but depending on its zeal and of the community, she could have been stoned to death. A man whose feelings were undoubtedly hurt, this could have been an option. Or he could have claimed that the child was his own, and everybody would have told him, you should have waited, you know, nudge, nudge. But that doesn't seem to be possible for Joseph. The truth matters to him. Third idea is he could have divorced her quietly, not making an issue of the pregnancy. This would allow Mary to remain in her parents' home and have the child, and then marry the man who impregnated her. Joseph loved her, and it would have been a heartbreaking choice for him as knowing that he loved Mary. The fact of her pregnancy meant that she must have feelings for someone else. Joseph's heartache would most likely have been that she loved and cared for someone else and did not want to marry him. A fourth option would be to admit that the child was not his, but to marry her anyway and raise the child as his own. This would have taken the greatest act of charity and on his part, and ultimately the course that he adopts. The important part of this option is that he legally adopts the child. This is important to Matthew's day because Jesus' legal standing was apparently being called into question. As a bastard child, he would not have his standing in the community, at least not against the logistically minded Jewish element. Matthew is probably including the story to equip his first century readers to answer the charge that Jesus was illegitimate. Once Joseph takes him into his own home, any charge of illegitimacy can be prosecuted as slander or defamation of character, the sort of language that logistically minded Jewish element understood very well. Joseph, on the other hand, is confronted with another sort of terror. His heart is broken. His fiancée has told him that she's pregnant, and she does not know who the father is. He'll step aside for her and let the other man marry Mary. And the little town of Nazareth, he will watch them probably grow up together and living and wondering what it could have been. But then God comes to him in a dream. As an angel speaks, the child is from God. This is a holy thing. I probably would have laid off the late night snacks after this point, but Joseph believes. He trusts. He takes Mary into his home. He gives the child a legal status and commits himself to providing for the child by naming that baby. He called him Jesus. But of course, Matthew is also guided by the Spirit of God as he writes this. There's much more than just proving the first century charge of illegitimacy leveled against Jesus. This is an important text for understanding who Jesus is. Luther said, Joseph and Mary's faith is probably the greatest miracle of Christmas. He ranked it above the virgin birth and then incarnation itself. Joseph could surely not have come to believe this dreamy angel who said that the bride was pregnant with God's child. Imagine telling your extended family the girl you're bringing home is pregnant. but you had a heart, but you heard it from a dream that this child was from God. But Joseph believes it. He changes his course of action as he faiths the angel's words. Those of you who are on Wednesday, I've been practicing what pastors and professors do with side notes. So here's a little side note on the Greek. There is no translation in Greek for belief. It's faith. So pistois is faith, and pistoo means to trust or to believe in English. So often it's translated as faithing or faiths, which is the Greek. But again, English doesn't have that. So by faithing, Joseph brought Jesus home when he woke up from that dream. Literally, he brought the child into his home. We dare not leave the child in Bethlehem in the manger in that place. This faith looks ridiculous, impossible to folks who are outside the faith. Even though there are a gazillion plastic statues of Jesus, of Joseph, put in the front of churches and other manger scenes throughout the community. Joseph's heartache, we also have many things that weigh us down. They would conform us, bend us, and inward and outward. God calls us to stand upright in him. Jesus is the same child who was not the heartache of Joseph. We are given to look up to the cross where the babe of Bethlehem died. It straightens us up as he lifts those burdens and bears them there. This empowers a real celebration of Christ Mass, or Christmas. The gifts we give are shadows and reflections of the gift themselves. The lights we put on the tree in our homes are reminders that we are the light of the world. The greenery in the depth of winter reminds us of the life that he brings, the coldness of death. The ornaments that we hang on the tree are a foretaste of the treasures that are ours in Christ. The beauty of our homes and the songs that we sing are hints of glory and angelic singing that we shall partake of his kingdom. This faith also empowers us to order our lives. It's not about things. So give as you're given to, not more than that. We don't have to overspend to show our love. We're able to face the fiercest foe with the confidence that the victory is already ours in Christ. We can laugh at death. We can scorn the afflictions of the body and our financial situation. The Grinch might not have to steal a Christmas if it's all about toys and stuff. The one and only thing that is Christmas, and without it, Christ at the center of this time of the year, without believing that the babe in the manger is ever so much more than another child born in poor circumstances, this all can empty very quickly. It can turn into a competition who has the most lights on the nicest home. Joseph's faith is a miracle. Yes, he is a man like any of us, not heroic man. But God gave him faith, the same faith that brings us to church today. There is only one faith, one saving relationship with God. God gave that gift to Joseph. He gives that same gift to us. So, are you ready to celebrate Christmas? To celebrate when Christ first came into this world? And are you ready to celebrate when Christ will come again? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather today and are reminded by the songs, the sights, the smells, and the joy of this time of year, that it all points to you, that at the center of it is you, that you came into this dark, cold world, died for our sins, to give us new life. Lord, that we might be that light to others this time of the world, when they're looking for something much more that's only found in you. Bless and guide us this day. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.